These days, people are doing just about anything to keep their minds occupied. Coloring books, sourdough starters, and especially puzzles.
I think everyone kind of enjoys puzzles. Crossword puzzles and Sudoku puzzles.
But nobody likes puzzles as much as Alonka Dunin.
When my friends and family ask me what I want for Christmas, what I tell them is to get several jigsaw puzzles and take them out of the box and mix all the pieces together and then just give me a bag of pieces. I enjoy seeing order come out of chaos.
But one puzzle took Alonka somewhere she never expected, inside the heart of the CIA. I'm Drew Beebe, and this is Great Big Story. We are a team of storytellers, and we've been traveling all over the world for the past 5 years in search of inspiring and wondrous tales. And now, on this show, we're bringing some of our favorites to you. Each week, we'll take you on a journey to hear an incredible true story. Some are pretty funny, and some are inspiring, and then some are about 20-year-long obsessions with cracking impossible codes inside the CIA headquarters. And that's this one, the mystery of a puzzle called Kryptos.
Let's see. These are notes of different codes.
I met up with Alonka at her home in Maryland, where she very patiently tried to explain to me some of the mind-bogglingly complex codes that she's cracked.
Like there's this BK, BK line, which is just one line. And up here, just numbers. And then here it looks like words with punctuation. So it was identified.
For Alonka, it all started years ago, when she found out that there were other people with minds just like hers. A whole community of puzzle solvers, hackers, cryptographers. They would design complex codes to stump one another. And Alonka, she loved it.
There was a challenge at a hacker convention in Nashville, Tennessee called Freaknik, and no one had been able to crack it. So a year later, making a long story short, I cracked it. And then I went around cracking a bunch of other codes, so many that I have been banned from competition.
Alonka even found her way into the pages of a Dan Brown best-selling novel.
So this is the sequel to The Da Vinci Code. And there's a character that shows up named Nola Kay, which is an anagram version of Alonka.
But one day, Alonka ran into the code that finally stumped her.
I think I first heard about Kryptos in late 2000. It's considered to be one of the most famous unsolved codes in the world. And it has an added layer of mystique because it's at the center of CIA headquarters.
Behind the shielded windows, past the secure corridors, in the wooded courtyard at the very heart of CIA headquarters, stands an enigmatic sculpture containing one of Washington's best-kept secrets.
Kryptos is a sculpture. It is about 12 feet tall and 20 feet long.
It's essentially this metal wall that's sort of twisted to look like a sideways wave.
The curving copper panels hold a complex encrypted message that's a mystery even to the spy agency's top code breakers.
It has thousands of characters carved into it.
These letters are punched out of the metal like a stencil. And if you try to read them, you're not going to get too far because they just look like gibberish, almost like a giant eye chart. But if you can figure out how to read it, on this sheet of metal are four secret messages.
Three of the four codes were solved, but no one has been able to solve that part four. We don't know what it says.
Well, there is one person who knows.
I believe that I'm the only one that knows the text of Kryptos.
This is Jim Sanborn. He's an artist, and he's the guy who actually made this thing.
In the late 1980s, the General Services Administration got a command from Central Intelligence Agency that they needed a sculpture. And I came up with a concept, and it was going to involve encoded text.
He knew that the top intelligence people in the world are going to be walking by this sculpture every single day. So he figured, might as well make it hard.
I wanted it to reveal itself like peeling layers off an onion. The codes to get more and more difficult. I don't think the agency wanted something easy in their front yard. They wanted something that would challenge everyone, including themselves.
Jim wrote four secret messages, and he devised ways to encode them with the help of Ed Scheidt, an ex-CIA cryptographer. Then Jim got to work.
I inserted 34,000 pounds of granite, installed a large copper screen, and I cut with jigsaws by hand almost 2,000 letters. I spent 2 to 3 years building.
Jim finally finished the sculpture in November 1990.
I thought it'd be cracked in 2 weeks.
And here we are going on 30 years, and it still hasn't been cracked.
So, when Alonka found out about Kryptos, the challenge of this famous unsolved code was irresistible.
It's like Mount Everest or going to Antarctica. It's something that hasn't been done. And Kryptos in particular, there's thousands of CIA agents that are walking past it every day, and they haven't solved it. So there's kind of a, well, I can do something the CIA can't. I'm going to be the one to solve this code.
But she knew she couldn't do it alone. So Alonka put out the word. She was gathering a Kryptos squad. And that is coming up after the break on Great Big Story.
The assignment with me, Audie Cornish. So there have been arrests, suspensions, disciplinary hearings. They're shutting down graduation events.
At this moment, the part of the protest that are admirable are young people calling attention to atrocities.
Michael Roth is the president of Wesleyan University.
I would like to make a space for them to do that, as long as that space doesn't prevent other people from pursuing their education.
Listen to The Assignment with me, Audie Cornish, on your favorite podcast app.
You're listening to Great Big Story. I'm Drew Beebe, and today, the uncrackable code known as Kryptos. In 2002, Alonka got to work. She started gathering up all the information she could find about Kryptos, every scrap of paper that could maybe offer a hint. She even dug up the groundskeeping manual.
Like, this is like how to take care of the trees and the pumps and the grasses. I was hoping to find something like mow around the secret panel, but they never had anything like that.
Whatever they did have, she posted onto a Kryptos website that she built, along with a call for help cracking the code. And pretty soon, messages started pouring in from other curious puzzle solvers. They had their own discoveries and suggestions and possible leads, and before she knew it, Alonka had launched a global network dedicated to cracking Kryptos.
Our Kryptos community is made up of people all around the world. We have thousands of people that are interested in Kryptos, either cracking it or helping to see it cracked. Some of them are professional code breakers. Some of them are students.
Every couple of years, they gather from all around the world in person to try to get to the bottom of Kryptos.
In Berlin, and ciphers directly to that end.
The cipher text starts out with the letters
E. Cipher V. Second L is over the cipher V.
Then in a way, then Berlin clock becomes a false trail.
No idea is too outlandish. Everyone is welcome in the Kryptos community, as long as you can follow one simple rule.
The basic agreement being that if we crack Kryptos, that we announce it as a group.
This is a community, which means everyone has to leave their ego behind, including Alonka.
People have asked me if I want to be the one that solves Kryptos. And it doesn't have to be me. I want to see it solved. And if I can help get to that point by sharing as much information as I know about Kryptos and raising awareness of Kryptos, that's as good to me as having actually cracked the code.
And Jim Sanborn, the Kryptos artist, he appreciates just how much Alonka has done.
She has become a Kryptos authority and probably knows more about Kryptos than I know.
Except, of course, the solution, which, after this many years of work, it's starting to feel a little unsettling for Alonka.
It raises the question of why. Why is it that this artist, Jim Sanborn, who had never created a code before in his entire life, how could he have designed something that has stumped the entire code-breaking world. My big fear is that there's just a mistake.
But still, Alonka holds out hope that maybe there's something she missed. Some little clue on the sculpture or somewhere near it. Because after all her deep dives and all of these road trips to government archives, there's still one more snag. In the last 17 years, Alonka hasn't been able to actually see Kryptos in person.
It is very difficult to get into the CIA headquarters. I'm one of the leading researchers of Kryptos in the world, and the last time I saw it was October 18th, 2002. So it's been quite a while.
So that's where I stepped in. Using a grappling hook, bolt cutters, and a clever disguise, I got Alonka back into the CIA headquarters. Actually, I just asked the CIA for permission nicely, and they said yes.
There's a ton of places that a geocache could be hidden here.
It was fascinating to watch Alonka work. The surprising thing to me was that she focused on everything but the letters on the sculpture. She examined the nearby rocks. She checked out the water pump at the base of the sculpture. She even crawled on the ground to get underneath some benches that are nearby.
Is there anything under there?
Nope. Well, there's a lip here. I could, you know, bring a mirror or something, but I don't, yeah, that doesn't feel right.
Now, I know, it sounds crazy to look under benches for a clue, but you have to remember, Alonka's been thinking about this puzzle for almost 20 years. And that is enough to drive anyone to test some pretty far-fetched theories. After about 45 minutes of digging around, we got a tap on the shoulder from the CIA, and they told us our time was up. So we headed back to the car.
What was it like going back and seeing Kryptos for the first time?
It's like seeing an old friend. And I discovered many things I never knew about it.
But would those discoveries help crack the code? Well, there was maybe an opportunity to find out, because the next day, there was a meeting of the Kryptos group. And Jim Sanborn, the artist, he would be there. Everyone would be allowed to ask him one question. But that didn't necessarily mean he'd give us a straight answer.
I still have to be very vigilant and extremely poker-faced, but I've gotten, after 30 years, fairly good at diverting attention or making it so that I don't flinch or offer them a tell. And so far, so good.
Now, I have to say, there was a certain electricity in the air during this meeting. I mean, we're in a room with the only person on Earth who knows the solution to Kryptos. And what if he slips up? What if someone asks the right question and just, bam, cracks it wide open right there? So Alonka, she gave it a shot.
I got to see Kryptos yesterday, which was for the second time in 17 years. And I noticed that things have changed around that courtyard. They've got an extra
She
closet,
detailed to Jim all the differences that she'd observed.
So my question is, has anything changed in terms of the solution or these solutions of Kryptos because of the changes that they've made?
That's a wily little comp. That's a trap question. Yeah. One would be ignorant if one thought that the site around Kryptos was never going to change.
Jim's response, it was typically cryptic, but he did more or less answer the question.
So if one invested a lot of time in the environment around Kryptos, that would be kind of silly.
And now, did this hold the key to the solution? Probably not. But it's this tiny winnowing of possibilities that makes the solution seem to creep tantalizingly closer, even 30 years after the sculpture was unveiled. And just as we thought the meeting was over, Jim dropped a major piece of Kryptos news.
There's no question I'm going to offer a clue, I believe, in 2019. The final clue.
This year?
Yeah.
And Jim, he made good on the promise. His final clue. You ready for this? It's the word Northeast. Now, could this be a coordinate? Is there some deeper meaning, something metaphorical or poetic about Northeast? I mean, I don't know. But whatever it means, it may be the last new piece of information, the last chance for the Kryptos community to uncover this mystery.
If I had to place a bet, yes, Kryptos will be solved. I couldn't tell you when.
And how would you feel?
If part four were solved, I would feel personally an immense feeling of relief. It would be off my plate. I would gather up the information, I would post a big banner on my website, and then I would heave a huge sigh of relief. And then I would probably work on a new code.
Of course, there will always be a new code. Because being part of this community of code crackers and puzzle people, this is what it's all about. Sure, knowing the solution to Kryptos, that is going to be so gratifying. But it's the figuring out part. That is what brings the real joy. And if that challenge is bringing people together, then even better. To Kryptos enthusiasts, it's been worth every minute of these decades of frustration.
Many people call and thank me for devising a puzzle that they've spent many years working on. It focused their mind on something other than perhaps the problem that they were having. It's something that had a healing benefit. And to me, that was great. I mean, that was really something I didn't predict.
Why do people want to solve codes? Why solve puzzles? What is it in our human nature that makes us want to solve these things? And I think it is a very deep part of our psyche, that desire to solve something, to be faced with a challenge and not know how to deal with it and then figure it out, has been what has brought our civilization as high as it has, is always pushing the boundaries. That's part of our human condition.
You can watch video of Ilanka, Jim, and see the solutions to the first three parts of Kryptos at greatbigstory.com. If you'd like to learn more about the fascinating history of Kryptos, or even take a stab at solving it yourself, check out Ilanka's Kryptos page at ilanka.com/kryptos. The Great Big Story podcast is a production of Great Big Story and CNN Audio. This episode was produced by me, Drew Beebe, and Evan Chung. Our executive producers are Sadie Bass and Megan Marcus. Francisco Monroy is our engineer. Additional production by John O'Byrne, Andrew Lampard, and David Toledo. Special thanks to Katie Hinman and Ashley Lusk. Courtney Koop is our vice president of digital productions, and Ashley Codiani is our vice president of brand and digital strategy. I'm Drew Beebe. Thanks for listening.